welcome to episode number 83 of the Peer Geek Podcast. And as always, it's a pleasure to have you tune in. Now, this is the second part of a three-part series that focuses in around the history of the peergeek.com website. And if you haven't listened to the first part, I recommend stopping and pausing here and going back to episode 82, where you can dive into the first part and then continue on with this later. Now, for some context, this particular series is in reaction to someone who emailed me asking to basically find out how it all begun. What sort of lessons I've learned along the way writing about technology and physical education. You know, has there been big trends that I've observed? And, you know, I was a little bit hesitant at first to share it, but in and amongst all of the different things that, you know, I am sharing, there are some big lessons, there are some big takeaways, there are some things that I have observed, and it may also give you a little bit of insight into, how seriously we take this and sort of how much work goes in behind the scenes to bring to life all the various things that you hear from me, because a lot of the time people ask me, you know, how do I get so much done? How do we get so many podcasts out there, different websites and blog posts and all mobile apps and all sorts of things? And, you know, this will share a little bit about that, but it'll also just point out some of the trends that I've observed along the way. And the story of the Peer Geek website is very much a story of those trends and those different things that we've observed along the way. So if you haven't listened to part one, go back, listen to that first, and then continue on with part two. Hope you enjoy. Now, in part one of this series, I spoke a little bit about how I got started, my interests, the background in terms of, you know, signing up for the website and getting my first ever spam comments that inspired me to continue to write. But along that course, you know, I eventually made an ebook, and then I resulted in building my first ever app. And at that very same moment, that very point in time, the iPhone was really exploding in popularity. App had become word of the year in and amongst that time period. And, you know, I sort of realized that there was a lot of opportunity to build apps to serve people and help them do something a little bit easier. So the first app we built was super simple. It's still on the store. And, you know, I used my own money to make that happen. And then eventually we got to a point where people had purchased the app enough for me to get back my funds. I was back to square one. And then I ended up making a small amount of profit. And, you know, most people here might think, great, you know, stop, whatever. But I saw that there was a plenty of opportunities to build more apps. So I took those profits without listening to any of my advice from my family, who said, you know, that was great, Jared. You should maybe just, you know, focus on building that first one. And, you know, that's it. You know, it's too much of a risk. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't going to listen to that. So I went out and I built Step Test, which was my second app, which did a very similar thing, another fitness test. And eventually I got the money back from that. And I kept doing this process over and over and over again, where I would get back the funds from making one app and I'd roll them into the next one. And as a result, I kept building more and more complex mobile applications. And eventually we got to Easy Assessment, Easy Portfolio. In the early days, they were pretty much the only assessment and portfolio apps that existed on the store. And Easy Portfolio went on to win awards across a variety of different industries, and still on the store now and still used by lots of people. But, you know, other mobile applications have come out since then that do what Easy Portfolio did, but in a more cloud-connected world. So that really leads into the next part of the journey. You know, in the early days of mobile apps, they were very isolated. They were very, you know, an app did one function and it did it only on the device that you were doing it on. So Easy Portfolio, for example, was a portfolio tool that you captured and all the information went to your one device. And in and amongst this period of time, something magical happened, and that was the abundance of cloud-connected applications that started to appear in the world. You know, we had Dropbox and we had Google Drive appear in there at this stage. And everyone started to look for tools that meant that they could work on one device and pick it up on another device and another device and another device. And all of this made possible by this amazing cloud-connected world that we have. And in and amongst this, you know, we started to look at how we could build tools that leveraged the fact that the internet was really the driver in all of this. And we got started building a couple of web-based applications. So you may have heard of those, Active Globe. We built one called Sports Tracker, which, you know, has been really well received by the community in Australia because it's mostly an Australian solution. And also Vitalize, which is our cloud-based video analysis tool. So, you know, in and amongst this is an obvious lesson in where technology went. It went to the cloud. It went to, you know, always connected devices. And if you look at many of the tools that I talk about now on the podcast, they all have a cloud-based connection that makes them possible and makes them infinitely extendable and all of those things that you know, we sort of focus on as being the cornerstone of the successful apps today. And that really connects with what I spoke about before. Now, in and amongst all of this journey, we actually had a couple of really successful mobile applications that weren't cloud connected. You know, they were the Balance It, Jump It, Work It, Stretch It. Those applications have pretty much been the bedrock for us in terms of allowing us to generate enough revenue and enough income for us to be able to do a whole host of things. So, you know, all of the stuff that we do costs a lot to make happen. You know, our website, for example, the hosting that it's on, sending emails to almost 25,000 people, that costs a lot of money. Mobile applications are not cheap. You know, the average mobile application is anywhere between sort of $4,000 to $10,000. So all these things cost, and they all cost money to continue to build. And the thing that made that all possible was pretty much a couple of applications. Balance It, Jump It, Easy Portfolio, Easy Assessment, they've been pretty much the bedrock for all the things that you see. And, you know, I love the fact that you can build something that people find useful and valuable, and then those exact funds you can release to building other projects and supporting other projects. And that's always been our mission. Now, in and amongst this whole time period, something else happened. And the thing that really changed the game for us in being able to see a global perspective of technology has been the workshops that we've ran to this day in around about 40 different countries. Now, as I was starting to build some mobile applications for myself and starting to use a lot of them in my practice, a lot of people were beginning to explore them also. And in order to do that, they you know, wanted some support and assistance. And that led me down the path of eventually doing workshops in different countries and eventually starting to run my own workshops, the PE Geek workshops, which you can see at thepegeek.com/events. And out of everything that I do, whether that's online podcast, blog posts, webinars, build apps, whatever it may be, the absolute favorite thing of mine is to run workshops. And that is, you know, 30 to 40 people in a room for the day. We focus on the use of mobile applications in iPhone, Android, etc. in the classroom practice. And, you know, I love it. And apparently the people who come to them do as well. And you can see every person who's ever replied to our feedback form over at thepeergeek.com/testimonials. And it's the number one thing that I do in my Peer Geek website, which is run those workshops, and I absolutely love it. Now, in and amongst all this time period, you know, I've been sort of juggling the full-time teaching arrangement. So pretty crazy workload in terms of going and working full full 8 hours a day, the travel in and amongst that, and then coming home, and then also having to, explore the website and all the emails and things that we were getting. And as a part of this, it just got to a point where, you know, I had to actually take on other staff to help me. Now, this is, you know, probably a lot of you probably aren't even aware of it, but this podcast, for example, is not edited by myself. You know, the minute I hit record on the podcast and then stop recording, that goes away to a team member who actually edits it, uploads it, posts it on the website for you. Blog posts, for example, I will sit down and write these out in Google Docs, and then a team member will go ahead and put those on the site and publish it and make the graphics and do all the different bits and pieces that you see. Now, the reason why I value that so much is because I'm able to get a lot done by removing out all the different things that get in the way. So a number of people have emailed me saying they don't know how I do it. And the reason I'm able to do so much is because I don't do anything. The only thing I do is actually focus in on building content, running the workshops, doing the stuff that only I can do. And I think there's a lot of lessons in there. You know, a lot of people are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, whether that's you're a teacher and you've decided that you would like to explore, teaching a new activity or a new game or whatever, and you go out and spend 20 hours becoming an expert and an instructor in that when you could have just leveraged, someone on the internet to do it for you. Or, you spend the next 20 hours trying to work out how to use a new software package when you could hire someone and they would have done it in 5 minutes. So there's a big lesson there. For me, the ability to hire staff that are existing around the whole planet was the complete game changer. It meant that I could continue to work, continue to, you know, do the things that I was doing. And meanwhile, everyone who was emailing us, you know, the 300-400 emails that we would get a day were being handled. And, all the content that we're able to produce was able to keep coming out. And it meant that, you know, we were able to keep doing the thing that I love more than anything. So in and amongst this time period, you know, I've realized that PE and technology is something that I love more than anything. However, what we do at the PE Geek is only really one component of the phys ed experience. And, I sort of realized that we were only really serving one part of the audience, and that was people who were interested in phys ed and technology, which is what I love. So in part three, I'm going to share with you how Connected PE came about, because they're very much connected. They're very much the same thing. ConnectedPE.com is another website that we run, another podcast, and it is very much the umbrella that sits over the top of the PE Geek website. And I'll also pave how the Connected PE conference came about, the Connected PE community, and all those different aspects that you may have heard of recently. And I'll also shed some light on the future and where this is all headed in terms of the podcast and the PE Geek website and all of those bits and pieces. So hopefully you found this little background story interesting. It's definitely something that you can look at and look back through as a catalog and know the history of where they've sort of progressed from now. And the real lesson here is, you know, the advancement in the technologies that have happened in the background that have made it all possible. So, you know, our podcast became possible because of the fact that everyone was carrying around mobile apps that they could listen to podcasts on. Our apps became possible because of the fact that everyone was having mobile applications on their devices. You know, our workshops became possible because we were building mobile applications and people needed training around those. So everything has snowballed from one to the other. It hasn't been this, you know, great forethought in it. Is that even a word? Foresight in the whole process. It's really just been something that we've been passionate about and continue to be so. And we just love the fact that people enjoy learning about this stuff as much as we do. So in part three, we'll dive into the final piece of the puzzle, which is Connected PE and the plans for the PE Geek website in the future. Speak soon.